We're on the Chof Testament Aleph in Sanhedrin. It's three lines from the bottom. And this is an interesting on it. So it's like an independent piece. It says like this. It's Amar Chizkia. Minayin Shekol HaMosif Goraya. And I think this is like a Hashkafa point. It's how do you know that anyone who is Mosif, who adds on, is in truth not really adding on, but taking away. Okay? Shenamar. Amar. Then this part is famous. Amar Elokim lo sochlu mimenu v'lo sigubo. So the snake said to Chava, or I'm sorry, Chava said that Hashem said that that God said that we shouldn't eat it nor touch it lest we die. Right? So Rashi says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo hizhir mahalagia. So Hashem never warned them against touching it. Umitoch tosafes, but because of the addition, giru, it diminished, shadacha fanachash es chava al ha'ilan, because the snake pushed chava into the tree, ad shenagabo, until she touched it, amarla. And he said to her, ri'i she'ein misa al ha'nagia. There's no misa on dying, on touching it. You said, Hashem said, don't touch it, otherwise you'll die. And you touched it, and you didn't die. So you see, it's not true. Af al achil los musa. So too for the achil, you're not going to die. Right? So that's what it's saying is kol hamosif goraya. So, and then we know the rest of what happened, right? So the thing is, because she was a Mosif and she added on to the commandment, it turns out that she ended up getting stuck. Because now she ended up violating the eating also. Whereas if she would have just said, Hashem said we can't eat, so then what would the Nachash say? No, Hashem said you could? No, Hashem said you can't. And you wouldn't have had any arms, any ability to get her. But now that she was Mosif, it turns out she was Goraya, because now the snake had an opening to be able to trip her up. Right? Okay. So that's the first limud of how do you know kol hamosif goraya. That's Chizkia. Okay, let's read a little further. Remesharshia amar mehacha. No, you learn it out from here. Amasayim v'cheitzi arko. Okay? Amasayim v'cheitzi arko. So saying, v'asu aron atse shitim. You should make the aron of cedar wood. Amasayim v'cheitzi arko. 2.5 amas it's the width. V'ama v'cheitzi rachbo. V'ama v'cheitzi kamoso. So 2.5 by 1.5 by 1.5. Amasayim. So amasayim, Rashi says, dal aleph mehacha. Right? If you remove the aleph, right, from Amasayim, Karibay Masayim, Masayim, Havishteme Yosama. Right? So basically, if you, Amasayim means an Ama and a Amasayim. Vachetzi, one Ama, or two Amas, I'm sorry, two Amas and a half. But if you take off the Aleph, it's going to say Masayim Vachetzi, 200.5. Right? So you see, adding on that Aleph before the word Masayim changes it from 200 to 2 Amas. So you see, Kol Mosif Goraya, Hirashi says, Kol Osir Shabbatorah Havarasim Kechsivasim, Kemo Ve'asisa Ve'amarta, Ki Luxuva Behei. So I think he's bothered by, if you take Amasayim, if you take the Aleph off of it, then it really says Mesim. It doesn't say Masayim. Right? It's only Amasayim, but you take off the Aleph, then there's no, then it doesn't say Masayim. But he's just saying is when it says in the Torah Amasayim, it's as if it said Masayim. So too here, if you take off the Aleph, it's going to say Masayim. And Masayim means 200. So now it turns out, Kol HaMosif Goraya, right? Adding on that Aleph ends up diminishing it by 198. And Rav Ashi Amar, he has different raya. Ashtei Esrei Yirias. Okay. Ashtei Esrei Yirias. Yes, he says, Izim Alal Mishkan. Ashtei Esrei Yirias. Astase Osam. Okay, so what's Ashtei Esrei? It's 11. So Ashtei Esrei Yirias means 11 Yirias. So Rashi says, Dal Ayin Mehacha, and if you take off the Ayin before Ashtei Esrei, Havidu Shtem Esrei would have been 12. So the Ayin, which you add on before Shtem Esrei, makes it into 11, and changes from 12 to 11. So you see, two Rayas, that adding a letter makes the word smaller, right? Smaller. It's true. The last two sound a little crazy. Because yeah, you add a letter, you make a different word. It's a different word. I mean, that doesn't prove anything. That's just, right? How's that supposed to prove anything? Right? Is there, in fact, I'm sure, I can't think of any offhand, but I'm sure there are ones where you add a letter and it'll make it bigger. No? I mean, I don't know. Arba means four. Arba im means 40. So you see, you add the yud and the mem at the end, it makes it 10 times as big. Right? Right? I mean, it sounds crazy to learn some sort of a philosophical principle from the fact that if you take the word and put on an extra aleph, it makes it smaller. Ayin, it makes it smaller. I mean, that sounds totally off. How do you prove anything from that? At least by the Nachash, it seems to be a reasonable place to learn a Musar point from. You're talking about Chava sinning, and you see Chava's adding on, and you'd think adding on somehow would be better, which is presumably why she did it. And you see that it ended up making it worse. So you see that ended up causing her downfall. So you see it's reasonable to say from there, Mosif Karaya. But now to start carrying that over to the case of the words and olives and ayins, I mean, it sounds like a crazy place to learn moral, whatever, principles from the semantics and the word constructions and whatever. Right? I mean, you could just say, look, if I take a Torah, take a Kasher Torah, which says Bereshis, starts Bereshis Bar Lokem, and let's say I add a Mem before the Bereshis, and it starts Mi Bereshis Bar Lokem, right? So it's going to postulate, right? So why don't you just prove it like that? I mean, that's, you want to tell me that, like you take a Torah, you can't just change the Torah, you change the Torah, you postulate. But this is like a wacky way to prove it. You're saying is if you take a word in the Torah, and you take a letter away, going to turn out, you make the number bigger, and since the Torah puts the letter in, it makes it smaller. But that's just only because of the semantics. It's just whatever. Right? Yeah. Okay, so let's think about this for tomorrow. What I want to think about more, I wouldn't focus first. I mean, maybe you've thought about this before, or heard, maybe you had a shot about this years ago. But I'd say, first let's analyze the thing with the Nachash. Right? I think that demands an explanation. Like, what's this idea of Mosif Goreya? It's an important point, because, you know, people are often Mosif. Right? And you think, being Mosif, like, you make a stringency. I mean, it seems to be that it's Mosif is Mosif. People think that way. The more Chumras you add, the more Mosif it is, the better. But it seems like it's somehow pointing out that there's something bad about that. Adding could be subtracting. So maybe it would be nice to understand, you know, the logic of that, and then see if we could carry over to these, you know, the grammar or the words. Okay? Sounds good? So yesterday we dealt with, we left with a problem, I guess, right? About the Nachash. And that this idea of Kol Mosif Goreya, right? That she was Mosif to the Tzivoy of Hashem, Chava, that is. She was Mosif, and therefore it ended up being Goreya. She was Mosif, don't touch it, and then she ended up eating it. So I guess the question is, what's the sense of that? I mean, how does the adding lead to the detracting? Just because she added doesn't necessarily mean So the tract, I mean, it's true. She said, God said, don't touch. And that so she made up. So then when the Nachash pushed her into the tree, she should have just said, oh, you're right. God didn't say that part. You know, I made that part up. And she still shouldn't have eaten it. You know, it's like a little bit of a funny, you know, like what's exactly the logic? And saying, therefore, if you're a Mosif, then maybe the snake's going to push you into this thick. And, you know, it's like a strange, like that's the general principle. I mean, that just seems like a particular incident that the snake did. But it seems like Chazal are trying to use this to show you a general principle. Call him Mosif Goreya. Right? So what's the lesson? Right, and of course the bigger, the harder problems are the fact of the aleph and the, you know, adding the aleph makes it smaller and the ayin and the numbers. I mean, that's deal with that later. But that's you know, part of the problem also. You mean tzivo Hashem is don't eat. Now when you add on, you should just keep that value of tzivo Hashem. Now you add on, don't touch. So now you're not related, you're not respecting the Tzivah Hashem, rather you're changing it into something other. Something which is, don't touch it and don't eat it. Which is not the Tzivah, so it's just some other idea you have in your head that you're making up. And now you basically become beholden to this idea in your mind, which you made up, of don't eat and don't touch. But that's not the Tzivah anymore. That's already a new thing. So now you're not attached to the tzivoy. You have to go right on, because now you've taken the tzivoy and made it into something else, or part of something else. So then if that other thing falls, which it often will, as Eliezer is saying, because it's not true, so now you've made the tzivoy a component of this larger thing, and now it's subject, the tzivoy becomes subject to being knocked down together with that which is a part of the fake thing. So you're really goreya, because you're taking the tzivoy and divorcing it from being a tzivoy and being a component of some other, a bigger thing, false thing. Right? That's what you're saying? Mm-hmm. Right. So why don't you just say, look,
Yeah,
so why don't you say, look, the eating is eating, and then she's making another rule, don't touch it. Like, why does it change the tzivoy? You know, the tzivoy is what God said, and now she's making up another rule, right, of don't touch. Now that's, don't touch breaks down, but why is the eating? Like, what's the tziruf? Yeah, so I mean, in this particular instance, I think I heard Rabbi say an idea once, which is, I think, applicable here. I don't know if you need this, or if it's always true in Kala Mosef Goreya, but by the Nachash, I think he said is that Chava, there's a tzivoy, don't eat it. Don't eat it doesn't mean don't touch it. It means don't eat it. But don't touch it is like a different thing. He was saying, that becomes like a taboo. It's like a taboo object. Why can't you touch it? It's like, that's it. There's something evil or powerful or something about this fruit. And that's why you can't eat it. There's like, it's off limits. It has somehow some sort of a significance to the fruit itself that causes you that you have to stay away from it. So it's like, don't eat it becomes wrapped up in an emotional attitude towards the fruit as being a taboo object, which you have to distance yourself from. So it's like, instead of relating to it as a mitzvah Hashem that you're not allowed to do an achila, she's like stigmatized this fruit as being negative, evil, dangerous. Can't even touch it, can't even eat it. It became like a different, she more like put up a fence, but now related to it as something other. Now the problem is that something other is false. So the Nachash was able to show her that that's stupid. There's no such thing as that. So I'll show you it's not a magical thing. I'll put you into it. You touch it. Nothing happens. Right? So there's no such thing. But the problem is that she, when you make it a taboo, it's like it becomes, touching and eating become two instances of the same thing. So like her eating now becomes wrapped up with this false construct, namely this taboo. So now it turns out, once you break that down, like the Nachash did, the Nachash realized it could break that down because that's fake and it's made up. But now she doesn't differentiate anymore because by being Mosif, and I think this is the point, is by being Mosif, it's not just an addition, but it's a change. It's a change to something else. And once it's something else, then that else is usually a goreya, because you're undermining that which is intrinsically the proper thing. And you're changing it into something different. So that's going to be goreya, because like the Tzivoy Hashem is the right thing. And now you're changing it into something else. So by adding, that's not even the point. Adding isn't necessarily adding. Adding is changing. And changing is the goreya, because you're making it something other. In this particular instance, the change is, it becomes a taboo. That may not be the case in every case, you know. There might be some other chumra, some other whatever it is. But the point is, it changes into a different way in which you're relating to the tzivoy, not simply as the tzivoy of Hashem, which has a very particular form, but it is somehow you attach to it some superficial emotional category. That category now takes on more particulars than you naturally, you know, than the tzivoy includes. So now you have some other way of relating to it, which now your whole relationship to the tzivoy becomes attached to that. And now you have all the plisas, all the weaknesses of that other thing. As God constructed the mitzvah perfect, which is a solid, firm foundation. And now he's, by changing it, you're changing into something else, which is some man-made thing, which is usually very weak. Right? Chazal say a person shouldn't say EF should be baser chazir, right? I shouldn't say I can't eat chazir. It's gross. It's disgusting. I can't eat it. Should say no. I want it, but aviv shiras shemayim prevents me. So you see, you shouldn't make the chazir like a taboo object as something somehow vile or repugnant. On the contrary, it should be something you want, but you can't because it's a tzivoy Hashem. So you have to control yourself. But if you make it some sort of evil and some sort of power, and you give it some, you relate to it on some different value, different way, then that different thing is often going to be broken down because it's not real. It's a fake thing. So you'll find the weakness in it somehow. The snake will find the weakness. Your emotions will find the weakness. It's a made up. It's shallow. There's something inconsistent or not true about it. So that's going to often fail. Now the problem is now, but by wrapping up the mitzvah, by being machmir, by adding something on, you've changed the mitzvah into being a component of some other bigger, but different thing. And that different thing is subject to falling down, because it's not designed by God in a way which has kiyum. So now you can end up, the mitzvah itself is going to be lend itself to being undone. Which is exactly what happened by Chava. Right? So the lesson is, don't change the Torah. God measured the Torah appropriately in the proper, in the best way. So he measured that the Isser on this is to eat it, not to touch it. So now what are you doing? So there's respect the Isser. And God determined there's nothing wrong with touching it. There's nothing evil about it. There's nothing powerful about it. Just don't eat it. So she should have just said, listen, God said I can't eat it. Not that there's something magical about it and something taboo about it, just I can't eat it, I'm not allowed to eat it, fine. So then the Nachash wouldn't have been able to get her. She just said, oh, okay. Really? Did God say that? She said, yeah, he did. And there'd be no way to fall, no way to undermine it, because the Tzivoy Hashem is solid. Problem is, once you start changing the Tzivoy Hashem into something bigger, then it has holes and weaknesses in it. Right, it's a good example. Like Eliezer says, sometimes people are machmir. Your chumras become so from, and so they become different than what the Torah intended, and then it becomes subject to being broken down because it's not really a stable thing. God would never mechayev people to do these types of things, and now you realize it's not a reasonable thing which God would demand or something like that. And oftentimes, a person will then break that because it's not a reasonable thing. God never even asked a person to do such a thing, but because the person made up this very super strict to what a severe thing, so he feels that's what mitzvahs are. So since you can't break that, so now your whole thing tumbles, because now you think you relate to that as God's command, which you realize that it cannot be and it's not sustainable. So then once you give it up, you don't go back to what you originally were. you just throw out the baby with the bathwater. The whole thing becomes all one big tziruf. So that's what I'm saying. Is by kol ha-moseh is you're really changing it. And when you change it, that's a giron. Okay. So should we go to the letters? Okay, so what's the idea now? It's saying is Amasayim v'cheti arko. And that if it said Masayim v'cheti, it would mean 200. 200 and a half Amas. But the Torah puts in an Aleph. It adds an Aleph to Masayim, Amasayim. And now it makes it 2.5. So you see, Kalamosif Garaya, adding in one Aleph, diminishes it by 198. And Shtei Esrei would mean 12, but Ashtei Esrei means 11. So you add an ayin, and it reduces it. So you see, Kalamosif Garaya. And so we said, yeah, but that's just because they're different words, different roots, and you change a letter like that. That's what happens. But it's not because adding diminishes. Right, it's just an accident of the way the words work out. Sometimes if you take Chamesh and you add a Yod Mem at the end, it changes it from 5 to 50. So sometimes adding increases. So it's hard to believe adding always diminishes, at least not in words. It just happens to be. In coincidence, you chose two words that work out perfectly. And you take out a letter and poof, turns out it becomes bigger. Or you add a letter and poof, it becomes smaller. But that's just the accident of the letters and the words, it would seem. So how do you really learn out any concepts from that? Yeah, so I was thinking like this. Maybe you say, similar to the other point, that, see, a person naturally has this feeling that more is better. Bigger, more is better. Right? Stricter is better. If you add on, let's say to the Torah, if you add on restrictions, if you add on things, making things bigger is always making them better. That's like an intuition a person has.
Bigger is better?
Yeah. That's what a person feels. So that's what you feel. You say you always want to make things bigger, because bigger is include what you already have, and now you make it even bigger. And there's like an intuition like that. And that's kind of what Chava went with. Says, look, I'm only adding. Obviously, I can't take away from the Torah, from Hashem's Tivoy, but I'm making it more. Better. Making more. God said, don't need it. I'm going even further. Great. You'd think, well, what could be better? I'm taking God's idea and I'm extending it. I'm going even further. A person might think, look, I'm keeping the mitzvahs and I'm also adding on a little bit. Perfect. Right? But the Torah is very careful. No, lo sos vel sos sos if lo sigra. Right? So you can't add on, or you can't take away. And there's no idea that bigger or more is better. It's not true. Bigger is different. Right? Bigger, more is different. It's not better. It's just different. You're changing it. And a change is a change. It changes it from what it's supposed to be to what it's not supposed to be. And that's not better, that's worse. Right? And the intuition which a person has, the more the better, that's a mistake. And maybe in certain areas it's like that. But in many areas it's not that way. So it could be is it's trying to show you another example. I mean, the example of Chava is really shows it to you in the context of a mitzvah. But it's not just because of the way mitzvahs are. It shows it again in like in linguistics. You take a word, you know, Masayim. You think, I want to make the word number bigger. You just add numbers on. That's the way numbers often work. You put on another number, it makes it bigger. Another number makes it bigger. You make letters, you make it bigger and bigger and bigger. Right? How could adding a letter, adding an aleph, makes it much less? Adding an ayin reduces the value? That just doesn't seem right. It would seem that if I add on more numbers, right, like in digits, in our digits, right, you take the number 3, you add a 0, it's 30, 300, 3,000, more digits, becomes bigger, bigger, bigger. There's an intuition that adding things makes it bigger, right? Asara is 10, Esrim is 20. So you think there's an intuition, adding can only make it bigger. But the answer is no. adding changes something to something else. And which, what's going to happen when you change it? It could be less, it could be more. It happens to be Asar Yad on Yud Mem becomes 20, but if you take on Masayim, which is 200, and then you add on Aleph, it becomes 2. Amasayim, 2 Amos. You take us Ashtay Mesrei, it's 12. Ashtay Mesrei is 11. So it's just trying to show you that this idea of additions makes things bigger and better is misguided. It's not true. And it's giving you another example. It's not just because Tzivoy Hashem. It's just the concept in general in the world, in reality, is that the intuition that you might have, adding things always makes them bigger and better. It might be true somehow on an emotional level, because you feel like you're adding, making it bigger. That's like some childish thing. Everyone knows it's bigger, 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 bigger. But bigger could be lesser. Make a bigger word and you make it lesser. So I think it's trying to point out that the point is not only about mitzvos Hashem. It's a more general mistake in thinking that you make. That it's an instance. The idea of adding makes it better is an instance of a general mistake. That more is better. And more is bigger. And more makes things somehow, bigger makes things better. And it's showing you another example, or two other examples from linguistics, that's not true. But you could have it a million examples, you know? I'm sure you could have it a million examples. It's just trying to give you another instance to show you there's a more universal principle to mistaken thinking, which, you know, which your intuition makes, which leads you to have that feeling. And by showing it to you in another instance, it kind of shows you why, I know why you might think to add on to the mitzvahs, to add on the Torah, because you have this natural feeling that bigger is better. But by showing a person different examples where it goes the opposite way, it could be it shows you that it exposes this intuition which you have, which is mistaken, and thereby could help you avoid it. Because you see that it's totally errant. And it's clearly errant in the case of the numbers, but it's chava is a little more subtle, and in chumras and things which people add on, it's, you know, similar kind of problem. You know, it's also true, I'm sure you think of other examples, but like in talking, sometimes, you know, the more you talk, the more you get yourself in trouble. It's like something goes wrong, and you try to explain it, you explain it more, so it's okay, just stop talking, enough, you said enough. It's like you have this feeling that speech, saying something, always makes it better. The more you talk, the more you explain, it just doesn't always work that way. Sometimes it does. There's not saying, it's not, I don't think it's saying, Kol HaMosif Karei. See, I think it sounds like it's saying it that way, as if, Kol HaMosif Karei. Every single time you add, you're diminishing. I mean, I don't think that's true either. I mean, like you said, you see, you add Aser, you add a Yod and a Mem, it becomes more. And the interesting thing is that it Mosif changes something. And when you change it, there's no way of knowing how it goes. Sometimes it becomes better, sometimes it becomes worse. Sometimes it becomes more, sometimes it becomes less. So you have to think. It's trying to combat the natural intuition you have, which is that more is better. So it gives you an opposite to show no, more is less. More is called Mosif is Goraya. It's like saying in an extreme way to show you that I think the truth is Kol HaMosif is Mishana. And when you're Mishana, it depends. If you're adding to something which is good, well then it's probably going to make it worse. But if you're adding to something, you have to know. Should you add or should you not add? It's not so simple. It's not always good to add. So let's ask you a question though. Because what about like a siyag? You see you make a fence.
A what?
A siyag. A fence. A gather. You see that there is an idea, like, look, don't, yeah, it's the Torah, exactly. They say, look, the Torah says don't eat meat and milk, and the Rabbanan says don't eat milk, chicken and milk, right? Or a lot of shvusim. Don't ride a horse, because maybe you're going to end up ripping off a branch. And I mean, the Torah has all kinds of Rabbanans. You don't just say, call a Mosif Goreya there. They say Mosif is good. There's a Mishmeres. So arguably, that's what Chava was doing. Then she was making a fence. She realized that, look, it's hard to not eat it. It's enjoyable. It's attractive. So she wanted to make a fence to not even touch it. Right? Why is that not appropriate? Isn't that a good idea? Right? Because it seems to me there's a sense in making a fence. Yeah, so I think the Rambam addresses this question. Okay? The Rambam in Mamrim, Beis Tas. Okay, he says, how will the Yesh Labez Din Ligzar Velasar Davar Hamutar? Since Bezin has the right to make a gezera and will last forever, or they could even matir harasha, they can matir an eser. Right. So what's Baltosef? Right. If they can make a derabanan, it's derabanan permanently. So what's Baltosef? So he says, "Shelo hosef al divrei Torah v'legrom mehem v'legvoa hadavar la'olam shehu min haTorah be'im b'Torah shavasav be'im dosh v'apah." So it means to add on to the Torah and to set this up as a deoraisa forever. Ketzad harei kasev v'Torah los vasha kadiva chalevi mal v'm piashmu alam dushizeh kasev asel vasha v'lechol basar v'cholav be'im basar behema be'im basar chaya avol basar ov muter mechelav min haTorah. So he's saying, as the Torah said, the Torah tells us it means meat and bas behema chaya, but not off. Im yavo bez din viyatir basar chaya b'chalav harizagoraya. So if the Rabbanan came along and matired, you know, chaya, animal with chalav, that would be goraya. Im yaser basar off, if they asar chicken, viyomar shu v'chal hagadi, v'wasar min haTorah. So most of it, if they changed and they said, included in the Torah is a gadi, is chicken, that would be most of. Avalim Amar Basar of Motor Min haTorah. The Torah says Mof is Motor. V'anu Nasar also. V'anu Diyal La'am Shehu Gezeira. But we're going to answer it and tell the people that it's a Gezeira Shelo Yavo Min haDavar Chorva, so that it doesn't lead to a corruption. V'yomru Basar of Motor. They'll say, why is Basar of Motor? Mimnei Shelo Nisparish B'Torah. Because it's not open in the Torah. Kach HaChayim Motoras. Shelo Nisparish. So that's HaChayim Motor. It's also not open. Someone else is going to say the only thing which is also is aiz. V'yavo achar lomar af baser aiz mutter v'chalav hapara or kabsa. Shalom nemar yelo imo shumino. Someone else is going to say it's only aser to have the meat of a aiz together with the mother. But there's also another aiz. V'yavo achar lomar af b'chalav aiz sheino imo mutter shalom nemar imo. Only the mother mamish is only aser to eat the chalav of a aiz with its mother's milk. So it's going to lead a slippery slope. It's going to lead to Esther Lefikach Nasser Kol Basar B'Chalav Afil Basarov. Therefore, we, the Rabbanan, in order to prevent that slippery slope from happening, are going to say that even though Min haTorah, the Esther Basar B'Chalav is only in Behemah Chaya, we're going to tell you not allowed to have B'Chalav also. Ein Zem Mosef, El Osis Yag L'Torah. That's not Mosef, that's Yag. Chen Kol Yotze B'Zah. So he's saying it has to be clear the lines. The Rabbanan have the right and the power, ability to make a siyag when they deem it necessary, but it has to be clear where what's the siyag and what's the Torah, and explain why is it a siyag? How is it a siyag? What the Torah is the Torah. That's the Tzivah Hashem. So that's you're right, and you said, that's part of the Tzivah. That's in the Torah. Asu Mishmeres L'Mishmarati. But it has to be clear that what they're doing. But see, I think Chava was not clear because Chava said to the snake. We priya et asher alma I was hilchagan amar alakim lo sochlo mimenu velo sigubo pen temusan. Right, so she said that's what this is what God said. Right, we could eat from here, but the eat from the God said, don't eat it and don't touch it lest we die. So you see, he's including the touching in the tzivah Hashem in the lest you die. Right, and that's when yomar nachash alicha lo mos temusan, you're not going to die. Right, you're not going to die because he pushed her in. Showed you it's not true. So you see, she didn't differentiate. She didn't say, God said we can't eat from it. And I'm being so careful, because I know the moment I touch it, I'm going to eat it. So therefore, I'm not going to touch it either. Right? That would be reasonable for her to say. But that's not what she said. She bunched them together. She didn't differentiate. She said, Of b'chalav is asur min haTorah. She's saying, is God said, don't do it, otherwise you'll die. So that's the problem, is she broke down. Then that's a Mosef. That's Mosef. See, a Siyag isn't a Mosef. The Siyag is saying is the Torah is the Torah, and now separately I'm going to make a Siyag. Because I know, I see that it's hard to control yourself in this area, there's a common mistake. But that's not the idea of a Mosef. There has to be a difference between the Torah and the Siyag. And a siyag has parameters also. Chazal makes siyags, not any person on their own. I mean, there is an idea of a personal siyag. But still, it has to be betoras guarding you against it. I mean, the Torah has the right, the Rabbanah have the right to make an authoritative siyag, and then a person on their own has the right to make a personal siyag if they deem it necessary. Like we said, if a person knows that if he talks to a certain woman, he's going to end up having an affair with her, well then he better off, it's a very good idea for him not to talk to her. That's a personal siyag, there's a place for that. In Chazal, I think someone else said, don't let me stick, watch me around my daughter, watch me around my whatever, to show, like in this area, they have to have fences. Fences are important, even for Yechidim. But that's fine, but that's known as a siyag. It's not changing the Torah, it's not making the Torah bigger, it's adding on an additional protection. But again, that's not the way she said it. Because that's not most of Usan. That's not, then you'll die, you're not going to die from touching it, you'll die from eating it. Touching it is just a siyag. Another point, which is that, like, certain mitzvahs, there are lines which God set up. And beyond which, there's an idea of midas chasidus. And the Torah doesn't demand that every person is a chasid. There's an idea of a chasid and an idea of a regular person. Now, the halachic system is what's appropriate for each and every person. Every person should be able to keep the halachic system. You know, it shouldn't be a chassid. That's like the baseline. Then there's an idea of a person who's at a higher level, who might keep a higher level of zehiros in certain areas. Right? Like maybe the Rambam said, the highest level person is only going to eat food which is healthy all the time. You know, but there's no isser to eat food which isn't healthy. So now there's no isser. There's an isser to eat pig, there's an isser to eat pasul chalav, there's whatever. So but there's no isser to indulge in a pleasure. But maybe the highest level person is a chassid, wouldn't do things like that. Whatever, I mean, that's each person is a chassid, has his own level, and he knows his level. But what God set up, a sustainable system, which is appropriate for every person in Klal Yisrael. And there's a balance. It's the appropriate level of Kedusha, let's say, of guarding oneself, but not too much, which is not reasonable for the Am to maintain. Now, if a person starts changing that level, and starts demanding of people to reach to be a chassid, well, now you're going beyond the quantity which God fixed as appropriate to demand of the masses, of the Am. So people aren't really fit in general, at least by God's measuring, that's not a level which is appropriate for them. Not everyone is a chassid. They're trying to make everyone into a chassid, but not everyone is a chassid. So typically, it's not going to work. And a lot of people are going to sin on such a plan because you think you're being stricter. Yeah, but you're not being stricter because you're frustrating people and you're not allowing them to satisfy themselves in a way which God says is appropriate and normal for them. So you're asking of them to be able to be more restricted than the line which God set. So usually what's going to happen is they're going to break because it's not a reasonable demand as deemed by God. So you think you're adding, but by adding you're making halacha so difficult for them that they can't keep it. So now they're going to end up violating. Now what are they going to violate? They're only going to violate this chumrah that you added on, or they're just going to look at it as all one big thing, and they're going to violate the halacha. If only you told them the strict halacha, it's a good chance they'd be able to keep it. But now that you demand of them this higher level, which is not really reasonable for someone at their level, so you're going to end up, they're going to break, and now you're going to end up undermining the halacha itself. And I think that's like a problem. That's like a similar tie. That's in a similar way in which it's a goraya. You know, the most of Korea. Chazal know how to add to the Torah in ways which are in line with the objective of the Torah and don't take away, each on individual levels and on like communal levels. In fact, that's what Chazal say. It's halacha. If it's kol gzeira shein tzibur yachalam, it falls away. Right? So you see, Chazal have to make something which is sustainable, and if they think sometimes they make a mistake, they think it's sustainable, but it turns out it's not. The people aren't at that level. So then they have to pull it back. So you see, it's like it's a tricky thing, but Chazal are experts in theory at figuring out how and when to extend the Torah and to make siyags in line which doesn't undermine the Torah, undermine the sustainability of the Torah. But if you're not outside of the bounds of Chazal, it becomes a free for all. It oftentimes becomes a problem. Definitely. Good point. Okay, so why don't we stop here? So let's see. I'd like to do tomorrow. The next Gemara, it's going back to the sugya about Hodah. It's back to the halachic part of the sugya about if you admit in front of people and you want to say you're joking, things like that. Tough testament off the bottom line. I'm Rabbi.
Stop.